friends, to the Health Ranger Show. I'm your host, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com, and joining us today by phone is a woman, an author that you really need to know about. Her name is Deborah Lynn Dadd, and she's the author of Home Safe Home and several other books that we'll talk about here on the show, books that teach you how to avoid the toxic chemicals in your home. And thanks for joining us today, Deborah.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
And let's start from the beginning here. You wrote Home Safe Home, I think, in 1997, correct?
Something like that. But then there was an updated version in 2005.
Now, a lot has happened since then. Can you start with how toxic is the home environment today, and how has that changed in the last 10 years?
Well, the home environment today is just as toxic as it's been for the last 20 years. I've actually been doing this for about 25 years, and what I've seen over that period of time is that the toxic chemicals are just as toxic. We know more about them now than we did 25 years ago. But the good news is that for those who choose to partake of them, there are now many, many, many more non-toxic and safe and eco-friendly and natural products available than there were 2 decades ago. And there are more of them every day. And so the choices are easier now, but we still have the same dangers.
So can you give us some good examples? What do you think is the most dangerous product in a person's home right now?
Right now, well, there's different kinds of products in a home. There's products that you're using every day, like cleaning products and pesticides, and you know you use them and they're gone. And then there are things that we have in our home on a long-term basis, like carpets. And I would say that of the short-term types of products, cleaning products and pesticides are definitely the most toxic things that you're going to be exposed to in your house. And they're also the easiest things to change. Like, cleaning products are actually governed by the Federal Hazardous Substances Act, and they're considered to be hazardous waste, and yet we're spraying them around our house all the time. A lot of symptoms that can be the result. And, you know, most people don't realize actually what toxic chemicals in your home can do to you. And they can cause things like, you know, runny nose or watery eyes or skin rashes on a very small level. But they can also cause things like cancer and birth defects and asthma. And they can affect your sex life. They can make you fat. They can make your skin wrinkle. They can, I mean, they really, almost anything that's going on with your body can be attributed to exposure to toxic chemicals in your home.
Now, a lot of people then, when they experience these symptoms, however, they don't immediately suspect the indoor air quality in their home. They run out to a doctor, and they try to get diagnosed and treated that way. But
right. You know, the last year I spoke at a conference about cancer prevention in Canada, and I was surprised that the newest numbers showed like 85% of all cancers are due to environmental exposures to toxic chemicals. When I say environmental, I don't mean like out in the environment. I mean in one's personal environment.
Yeah, exactly. For many people, the safest thing they could do is get out in the environment, get outside
home,
open the windows.
That would be the safest thing that they could do. But really, in our culture, we're conditioned to, when there's something goes wrong with our body, we're conditioned to go down to the drugstore and buy a drug, or go to the doctor and get a prescription. Or even in the natural industry, we're advised to, like, go down to the natural food store and get a natural remedy. It's always about going to get something to put it in our bodies. And there's not so much education on the things that we're doing to our bodies that are creating the illness in the first place. And I would say for any physical condition anyone has to any degree, toxic chemicals in their homes are contributing to it. And by reducing the toxic chemicals, that condition is going to improve. It used to be, when I started doing this 25 years ago, I used to talk about immune system damage or chemical sensitivities, and that was about it. But there's so much data now that connects toxic chemical exposures to every illness.
So your advice, I think, is really right on the mark. It's first, stop poisoning yourself, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because toxic chemicals affect every body system. They destroy the immune system, they destroy the endocrine system, and these two systems actually affect every part of your body. And they also damage the liver, And the liver is like the main detoxification organ in your body. And if your liver isn't functioning, your body's not going to detoxify. And so what we really are doing is poisoning ourselves, bombarding our bodies with toxic chemicals all day long and all night long, too. As we're sleeping in our beds, we're being exposed to toxic chemicals. And so if somebody is now having a body ailment, the first thing to do is get rid of the toxic chemicals and then see what you need to do.
Oh, yeah, I've got a story for you about that. But first, I want to make sure people have access to your website, and I'll give out that address for you. It's www.dld123.com, and that's DLD as in Deborah Lynn Dad. So dld123.com. And do you have some resources available on that site that you'd like to mention?
I have lots of resources on that site. The first thing is you can get my books there. And I also have a section of my site called Deborah's List, which has nearly 1,000 links now to websites that sell non-toxic, natural, and eco-friendly products. And I also have a very popular blog where you can write in with your question about green living or health or the environment. And not only will I answer it, but my very knowledgeable readers will answer it as well. That's a very popular, we get lots of questions there and lots of comments. And I also have determined, like in the last couple of years, that sugar and artificial sweeteners, I consider them to be toxic chemicals. And so I have a whole separate part of my site where I talk about the natural alternatives, the ones that don't affect your body like sugar does, and really yummy recipes for making all kinds of desserts and sweet treats that you can eat instead of sugar.
Wow, I'm really happy to hear that. I want to talk to you more about artificial sweeteners in another segment on this show. But I'm glad to know that it's not just the cleaning products that you're focusing on. It's also dietary toxic chemicals.
Well, it's everything, because I consider myself, I mean, a lot of people in the world today are specialists, but I consider myself to be a generalist because I'm writing about and investigating the things that I'm actually concerned about in my own life and the things that I'm doing. And every one of us, as we go through our daily lives, we're all generalists. We're all cleaning our house and eating dessert and, you know, all those things. And so I cover all those things.
That's a really good way to describe it. And another question, your most recent book is called Really Green, correct?
Yes.
And where can people get that book?
They can only get it on my website or some other websites. There's a handful of websites where other people are selling them. It's a very new book. And the thing about Really Green is that it takes a completely new viewpoint on what is a green product, because there's a lot of controversy about what's green and what's not green. But what I did was that I said, okay, so what goes into making up a green product? And so it looks at 18 basic green principles, and if a product has one of those principles, it is to some degree green. And I found by looking at it this way that there's a whole spectrum of green products, and that some people are looking at only the ones that are very deep green and saying, well, if they aren't deep green, then they're not green at all. And other ones are saying, well, here's a little bit of green, and so we're going to call these green products and sell them as green products. And there's all this controversy, and you know what? We don't need to have controversy. We just need to recognize how green is the product, and each person needs to choose if it's right for them. And we need to recognize the whole spectrum of green. So that's what that book is about, is really empowering the consumer to know what is green and be able to recognize it in a product.
Do manufacturers try to deceive consumers by making claims about being green or natural on the labels of their products? So what do you think about that, Deborah?
Well, I think that there's a lot of parts to that question and a lot of different answers. So let me just start with, first of all, I do think that some manufacturers are trying to be deceptive, and not all manufacturers are trying to be deceptive. I talk to a fair amount of manufacturers as I go through the work that I do. A lot of manufacturers don't understand the terminology. They don't know what natural is. I'm looking at websites all day long looking for healthy and green products, and I'm reading descriptions of products all day long. And when I see something that looks like an obvious error, then I contact the company and I try to fix it. And I have seen things like a product labeled all natural, and then when I find out, I look at the ingredients list that's right there on the website, and there are obviously ingredients that are not natural, and I contact them, and they just don't understand what a natural product is. I was looking at a product the other day where they told me it was made out of biodegradable plastic, biodegradable polyethylene plastic.
That's great.
Now, you and I are laughing, but I'll just explain to people who don't understand what the joke is. That polyethylene is made from crude oil. It is not biodegradable. There are biodegradable plastics, which are made from vegetables, but polyethylene isn't one of them. And so to make a claim like this biodegradable polyethylene, and I did contact this company, and they just kept insisting that that was what it was and finally refused to talk to me, and they haven't corrected it to my knowledge. Manufacturers range from, I want to be green, and I don't care what is going on, I'm going to say I'm green, to I absolutely want to really be green, and I'm going to be very careful about what I do and how I communicate it. And those are the two extremes, and there's everything in between. And this is why consumers need to be educated. I would like to be able to say everybody who's doing green products is completely ethical and knows what they're talking about. And, you know, there's a difference between ethics, like doing right and wrong, and simply being ignorant. And I see that there's a lot of people who are making and selling green products who are simply ignorant. I want to jump in and say, not all of them.
Good.
Because I don't want to say, forget about green products because everybody is stupid.
What's an example of a company that's doing really good green products? I mean, in my mind, Dr. Bronner's stands out as a good example.
Dr. Bronner's is outstanding. Dr. Bronner's knows exactly what they're doing. They've been on the cutting edge for decades. I mean, I've been doing this since the early 1980s, and Dr. Bronner's was outstanding then. So that's a long time. And recently they've come out with, so Dr. Bronner's makes natural soaps. For those of you who don't know, Dr. Bronner's.
Oh, right. Yeah, we should mention that. Natural soaps, yeah. Good for cleaning everything.
It's good. They're good for cleaning everything. They are basically just a natural liquid soap. They have bar soaps, too. I like the liquid soap. It comes unscented. It comes in several naturally scented scents. And recently, in the last couple of years, they are now making them with organic ingredients. And so this is absolutely, and they know how to describe what they're doing. They use recycled content in their plastic bottles. You can also recycle their plastic bottles. It's like they use recycled paper on our labels. It's just they've thought it out completely, and they are telling you absolutely what you need to know about the product in an honest and straightforward way. I think that you could definitely hold up Dr. Bronner's as a shining example of what a green product is.
But what about a company like Seventh Generation? They're more well known perhaps because they have really good distribution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've interviewed them before. I'm just curious, what's your take on Seventh Generation?
I think Seventh Generation is doing a really good job. And if you go to their website, they have a lot of information. Like, one of the things that you can tell if you're going to a website for the first time, you can tell how knowledgeable and green a company is by how much information they give you. And you, at the very minimum, you should be able to get the list of ingredients of the product, and you should be able to get what's called the material safety data sheet, or MSDS sheet for short. And that tells you if there are hazardous ingredients in the product. This is something that companies have to provide by law, and a lot of companies are now putting them on their websites. So you should be able to get the ingredients list and the MSDS sheet. And if a company makes claims of being green and they don't give you that information, just go someplace else.
Now, do you do individual reviews of these companies on your website, or do you only recommend specific products?
On Deborah's List, I write my own descriptions of websites that I think are providing good green products. And so, like, Seventh Generation is one that's on my website, and so I'll write a general description, but I'm not reviewing individual products. I'm actually working on a program right now that's still in development where I will be scrutinizing individual products. So it wouldn't just be, you know, here's this general information about Seventh Generation. I'll actually look at every one of their products and point out the pros and cons. Because I think that that's really necessary. I think that people are looking in a really general way at everything right now, and that they're not looking at what are the details. And so far we haven't really had tools for looking at those details or understanding, but that's really the next step for green products, is that we need to be able to do that.
Is it also true that it's not only what's listed on the label in the ingredients, but it's also things that aren't listed there? For example, there can be chemical solvents that are used in ingredients. There can be ingredients called simply fragrance, but there might be 10 right. or 20 different chemicals. Can you talk about that for a bit?
Let me take up fragrance, because that's a good example. But now, actually, what I'd like to talk about is this principle as it relates to food, because the same thing happens. You can have, for example, ham listed on a food label, but it's not required by law. Let's say it's a ham and cheese sandwich, okay? Then the label only needs to say ham, cheese, bread, mayo, mustard. But it doesn't need to tell you that there's nitrites in the ham. It doesn't need to tell you that there's pesticides in the cheese. It doesn't need to tell you any of the ingredients in the mustard or the mayonnaise. It only needs to tell you those basic things. There's a lot of toxic chemicals with big, long names that I don't remember off the top of my head, but they're all on my website. And whenever you see the word fragrance on a product, or even if you're just buying perfume at the drugstore or at a department store, it doesn't matter how much it costs, there's a lot of synthetic chemicals in it. And that doesn't mean that you should never use anything that's scented, because there are also a lot of natural products that are scented with what are called essential oils. And it'll say that on the label, like essential oil of lavender. And those react in the body in a very, very different way than the toxic synthetic chemicals. And it's really a good idea to not use any of these synthetic fragrances, because they affect your nervous system is one of the primary things. And so they can make you not think clearly. They can make you depressed. They can, you know, anything that has to do with nerves, they can affect very, very easily. And they go right in through the skin. A lot of people still don't know that the skin is very porous. People used to think that the skin was a barrier, but it isn't. And so you put these toxic chemicals like perfume on your body, goes right in and causes some type of poisoning.
I wanted to paraphrase that just to make sure people are following. Even though it may only mention the word fragrance on a bottle, it could contain 20 different chemicals,
many
of them being carcinogenic chemicals.
Yes.
So how can this be that there's no requirement for these product manufacturers to list the ingredients of their products?
Well, it isn't that there's no requirement. Each type of product actually has different labeling laws, and this is part of what makes it so confusing. So the labeling laws are different, for example, between cleaning products, pesticides, foods, cosmetic products, building products, and the labeling law for perfume falls under cosmetics. And cosmetics law says that you have to list all the ingredients in descending order of how much is in them. So it's like the number one ingredient is water. It's mostly water. Now, what happens, though, is that those ingredients that you're required to list are the ones that if you're in a factory, you're going to put those ingredients together in the mix. But in a factory, it's very much like you in a kitchen making a sandwich, like we talked about in the last segment, that you're putting together ham and cheese and mayo and bread, and all of these are ingredients that have ingredients in them, and it's only those final ingredients that you're mixing together in the factory that you're required to list on the label. And so, in addition to fragrances, there's things like, you could list petrochemical solvents or something, and that might contain many different solvents and you don't even know what it is. And there are a number of these multi-ingredients, and there's something different every week. They're not even standardized. And so it makes it very confusing and difficult for a consumer to know exactly what is in a product, and the manufacturers don't even know. They say, oh, I got this fragrance number 25,
Uh-huh.
And they don't know what's in it. They don't know what's in it.
And I find that a lot of families don't even realize that they're using fragrance chemicals anymore because they can't smell them. Sometimes I'm out hiking and I pass a family and I can smell them half a mile away. They're just reeking with toxic chemicals. It's amazing.
Or you get in an elevator with them.
Yeah.
I know. It really, it actually deadens your sense of smell kind of like smoking a cigarette. You know, it's like you smoke and then the effects of the smoke get less and less. You don't feel it. People around you feel it, but you don't cough so much and stuff. And it's the same thing. It's like there's actually something called olfactory fatigue, which means that when you smell something the first time, you really smell it. And then with sniff number two, you smell it less. And sniff number three, you smell it less and less and less and less. And for somebody who like is wearing aftershave every day or perfume every day, after a few days, they don't even smell it anymore. So they have to put on more and more and more and more so that they can smell it. But for us, we're going, oh my God, did they just fall into a perfume factory?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they don't know. They don't know because the use of these products are damaging their ability to smell.
And what about in the laundry room? I've talked to people about the toxic dryer sheets and the toxic laundry detergents. A lot of people think all of those products are safe because they're not eating them or they're not putting them on their skin. But isn't it true that they can still be dangerous because they're soaked into the clothes?
Well, they're soaked into the clothes. And also, a lot of people still don't understand that breathing something is a route of toxic exposure. You know, that they think, well, if I'm not eating it, or if I'm not putting it on my skin, then it's okay. But breathing it is just as bad as a route of toxic exposure. Because your body doesn't have any defenses for toxic chemicals. I mean, let's remember that our bodies were developed way before toxic chemicals were developed. And when nature was designing our bodies, it didn't say, well, we need to put little filters in the nose so that you don't get formaldehyde exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So none of our bodies are defenseless against this. Defenseless. You know, we have these little hairs in our nose so that we don't get a lot of dust. But we don't have anything for gases. And so they go right into our lungs, and our lungs have very absorbent material in them, and it just goes right into our bodies.
You're talking about gases like VOCs or volatile organic compounds, as they're called?
VOCs, formaldehyde, and perfume. So in the laundry room, if you are using a scented detergent, and those are some of the worst, if you ask people on my blog, they hate scented detergents the most. But what happens is that those detergents also will get in the clothes and they will cause skin rashes. Those scents will cause skin rashes. When you see something like hypoallergenic on a label, the main thing they've taken out is the perfume.
Ah, I see. But not the other chemicals that might be in there.
No. Hypoallergenic products can still have toxic chemicals in them.
So that's just another term that's really not regulated, is it?
No, a lot of these terms are not regulated. Green is not regulated. The other day I found out that lead-free, the word lead-free is not regulated.
Really? And it doesn't mean
really
free of lead, huh?
And it doesn't mean free of lead. What it means is that lead is not put into the product as an ingredient.
Oh, my.
But it could still, like if you're talking about lead-free dinnerware, I found out from a dinnerware manufacturer that even if you don't put lead in the glaze for the color, that if you put it in a kiln that has fired pottery with lead in the glaze, that lead has gone into the kiln and then can come back into the pottery.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Or into the flatware.
Yeah, not like silverware, but into the dinnerware.
Oh, into the dinnerware. Oh,
ceramic dinnerware.
Okay.
And there's also ambient lead in the environment that is in, like, virtually all products that exist because it's just ambient lead in the environment. So when you read a term like lead-free, that doesn't mean zero lead. And people think that it means zero lead, and it should mean zero lead if you think about the fact that there's no safe level for lead exposure.
Right.
But you can't live on planet Earth and not be exposed to lead the way it is today.
Well, it's a lot like
a thing that can be accomplished.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just drawing parallels to nutrition labels where they can say trans fat free, but of course it still has trans fatty acids, and it can have quite a large amount of trans fatty acids, but the FDA allows them to say trans fat free because the serving sizes are so small.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's really important. And there used to be a website, and when I went to it recently, they didn't have this information on it anymore. And I'm wondering if there's another website that does, where it was actually done by Consumer Reports magazine, where they had collected all the definitions of all these terms.
Really quickly, I want to mention, do you agree that there are a lot of sources of toxic chemicals in the home that are really hidden from people, such as mattresses and furniture. I've seen this particle board furniture make people sick, and I personally got sick from a memory foam mattress. It almost caused me to pass out at the gym. Would you agree with that assessment?
I agree with that assessment. There are a lot of things, toxic chemicals, that are hidden, and this is one of the reasons why I wrote Home Safe Home, was to show where the toxic chemicals are hidden. As long as we're talking about beds, I'd just like to say really quickly that one of the most insidious hidden chemicals there are in a bed is the formaldehyde finish that are on just on the sheets and pillowcases, and it's on any bed linens that have a permanent press or no iron finish on it, and formaldehyde causes insomnia. So we have a nation of people who are sleeping on these sheets having insomnia from the formaldehyde exposure and taking sleeping pills. Now, so if anybody listening has trouble sleeping, please stop the sleeping pills and change your sheets.
Good advice. All right, let's move on to chemical sweeteners or artificial sweeteners. You mentioned previously that you've now categorized these as toxic pollutants, or how do you
I would say, well, I just call them toxic chemicals that are, you know, they're pollutants of concern that you might put in your body. And I've actually been writing about artificial sweeteners since my first book in 1982. But there's become much, much more evidence, and there's also more artificial sweeteners than ever now, especially because so many people are diabetic and they're looking for alternatives to sugar. And these are made from crude oil. They are incompatible with the human body, and they cause all kinds of health effects, including cancer and including brain disorders and all kinds of things like this. So I actually concluded many years ago that it's actually safe, better for the body to eat refined white sugar than it is to eat an artificial sweetener.
Now you say these are made from crude oil. I think a lot of people would find that difficult to believe, that they're made from oil. Can you describe that a little more?
What happens is they drill for oil, and they use a lot of the oil for fuel, for gasoline. But then there's all this leftover impurities after they do that. And they use those leftover parts to make plastics and synthetic fibers and all kinds of toxic chemicals. All these, anytime you see the word synthetic, that means it's made from crude oil. They make all those perfume ingredients we were talking about are made from crude oil. All the food colors and artificial flavors, or anything that says artificial, is made from crude oil. And these artificial sweeteners are made from crude oil. I mean, what they're doing is they're just taking the crude oil and they're using it as a source of molecules. And then in the factory, they make up these different combinations of molecules and into things that don't appear in nature. Now, the thing is that I learned many, many years ago that the body is a living thing of nature, that our human bodies are made by nature, we're born of nature, just like a tree or any other animal. And health is our natural state. What we're doing is we're destroying our health. If we would stop poisoning ourselves, if we would stop abusing our bodies, we would be healthy, because that's what nature designed. It's our lifestyles that are killing us, literally. And we just need to stop doing these things, and our health will resurge, because there's this life force within each of us that is just pushing for health. I mean, if you think of it in those terms, how much energy it takes on our part to be suppressing our health.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that an interesting concept?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. But that brings me to my next question, which is what are the top two or three action items that consumers can do right now to reduce their exposure to these toxic chemicals and help restore their health?
Well, the first thing that I tell people to do is just get rid of all their toxic cleaning products and just get a very simple non-toxic cleaning kit of baking soda, vinegar, and Dr. Bronner's liquid soap. And you can clean almost everything in your house with those things. And there are also some very good books that I have in my bookstore on my website that tell you how to make your own cleaning formulas from these basic ingredients, and that they tell you how to clean everything, what to use, just using these natural things.
And you'll also save a small fortune.
You save a lot of money, because it's very simple. You don't have all those plastic bottles to throw away. I mean, you can literally save hundreds of dollars a year by cleaning your house non-toxically.
I knew a person whose father was the owner of a company that sold cleaning solutions, different kinds of soaps. Mm-hmm. And he said to me one day, he said, they're all the same. It's just, this is 10% concentration soap in this product. This is 5% there, 20% there. Different labels,
you know,
different colors, it's all the same.
You know, there's these new Clorox Greenworks products, and I actually found their MSDS sheets, which were not on the Clorox Greenworks website, but are on the Clorox website, and you can find those on my website too, the link to them. And all of them are made out of the same ingredients, except in different concentrations. And so they want you to buy like 5 different plastic bottles.
Yeah, it's really about just selling bottles to consumers. It's not about health or keeping houses clean. It's just about selling stuff.
Yeah, I think that the biggest problem we actually face in terms of going green on a worldwide mass basis is just this idea of the way our culture and the economy is set up is to say, how can we sell people the most amount of stuff? And that's always what companies are thinking, instead of saying, how can we create a healthy world and healthy bodies, and then sell somebody something that follows those principles. And so there's still companies that are doing that, but we are still oriented towards how can people make the most money.
Well, let's be honest, it's not as profitable to sell people simple solutions, right? These corporations, they make more money by complicating it.
They do, but I'm sure that Dr. Bonner's is not going under. I'm sure they're making a profit. I'm sure that, you know, they're really, well, I wish we had more time.
I do too.
I know we're running out of time because, I mean, this is a whole interesting subject in itself about what do we really need. And, you know, so it's not just about buying a particular product, but about rethinking our whole way of how we think about life.
Well, I think we could do that if you're willing to come back on the show in the future. I'd love to have you on. I know the listeners would love to as well.
Okay, I will be back.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this interview with Deborah Lynn Dadd. Stay healthy. Get those toxic chemicals out of your home and out of your body, and you'll feel a lot better for doing that. You've been listening to the Health Ranger Show. We'll talk to you again soon.